and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? And he ends the scripture, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is extreme. This is intense. This does not make sense. And those of us that have tried to live this way, maybe it starts to make a little bit more sense because you've seen how it plays out. But the difficulty in deciding to live like this, we face it day after day and year after year. It doesn't like somehow like just go away or like, oh, you know what? Yeah, once you're a disciple for 20 years, then this scripture is just natural. It is still always a fight to love those who oppose us, to care for them. Like literally Philippians says, right, to view their interests as more important than our own. Jesus is transforming the righteous landscape. And the Ecclesiastes writer does not have the context to be able to get to this point of view. Right? The best that he sets everything on is fear God and keep his commandments. But Jesus takes those commandments even further. He does present for us this world where it's not just like, okay, you know what, let me go this way or that way. I just need to kind of make sure I'm not righteous, I'm not sinful completely. Instead, he gives us instructions to live that are challenging, that are difficult to work through, that are difficult to enact, and in doing so, causes us to flourish in a way that we cannot comprehend. Because even though it's hard to live this way, even though it is painful, even though it is extreme, the reality is when we can be patient with those that, go against us, when we're able to love those that do not deserve our love, God is able to work through that to not just drag us along and get us through the chaotic times, but to literally stop the chaos with us. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. The world is a shifting, chaotic, painful, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth place. Mm. And when you are able to stop the pain and destruction that others would bring against you at you and not hand it off to somebody else and not double it back in time, it actually transforms the world. It goes so much further than just us being okay and living a righteous life.
Amen.
It instead is actually how God is working to literally bless the whole earth through us. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so, again, this message in Ecclesiastes 7 about avoiding all extremes is really important. And again, I think through just some of the examples I gave from my life, I needed to learn it before I was a Christian, after I was a Christian. I still am prone to extreme. I found out a couple months ago that my cholesterol was really high. And my immediate thought was, okay, I'll just stop eating dairy and oil. Right? But that's not what was needed. It's moderation. It's you know what I mean? But I just want to be super clear, because if we lock in too much of that message and we take that as contextually just what religion is about, we totally miss the point that Jesus actually is asking something pretty extreme of us. And so I think that we have to always view it in context of this as well. So, you guys with me? Does that all make sense?
Yeah.
All right, one last scripture here. Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many were wise from a human perspective. Not many powerful. Not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one may boast in his presence. It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Mm. If you want to flourish in this world, if you want to understand who you are and who God has designed you to be, put others before yourself. The world is not going to give you that advice, but that is the advice that transforms our hearts, our families, the church, the world around us. Do not think more highly of yourself than you are. And as we go through life, there's going to be plenty of reasons for accolades and respect. And the reality is that often when you do life God's way, you end up having more opportunities. And you know, there's different pieces that come with it. But if we, for a second, think that that's what's giving life meaning, that somehow that is what's valuable, and forget that God is actually transforming the world by us making ourselves lowly, like Christ himself made himself lowly, we're missing the point. So again, I just want you to really lock into this question, a question that I often ask myself as I'm working through any of the books of wisdom literature, as I'm working through what God's intention for me is. Is God's wisdom a way I interpret the world, or is it the way? Is God's wisdom a way that you interpret the world, or the way? Now, this doesn't mean that you don't read arguments against the faith. This doesn't mean that you don't learn from all sorts of disciplines in this world. But at the end of the day, each of us is going to have to answer the question, am I going to do it God's way? Or am I going to put the Bible in a box in my brain that I sometimes evaluate certain circumstances? Or will it be the way that I think, that I breathe, that I teach others, that I actually live my life upon? So, amen. Thank you so much for your time today.